wake you up this morning. Good Neighbor Radio, WAMV, 18 minutes before 9 o'clock. We're going to talk about our roads. And the song was called When He Calls, I'll Fly Away. And in some states, you might have to fly away because the bridges won't support you. But not necessarily so here. We're talking with Alison Prima Black, Dr. Black, who is an economist and has just completed a study for the American Road and Transport Builders Association, and is here to talk to us about the condition of our roads and bridges in Virginia, potholes notwithstanding. And good morning.
Good morning.
We've had kind of a brutal winter, and I know that I heard the other day that hundreds of millions of dollars have been allocated for pothole improvement. Potholes are one thing. Bridges are perhaps a whole other matter. And tell us a little bit about your study and what you discovered.
Sure. Thank you for the opportunity to be here. What we did is we looked at data that is compiled annually by the U.S. Department of Transportation. And all of the state DOTs and local governments will submit information to the DOT about the condition of all of the bridges in the country. So this is a great way to examine this data and get a good idea of where we are in terms of making progress. So our report focuses on some bridges that are classified as structurally deficient. And these are bridges where one of the key elements, usually either the superstructure, the deck, or the substructure, the part underneath the bridge, is rated in poor or worse condition. So we found that, you know, overall we're making a little bit of progress each year. We've moved about 2,000 bridges off the deficient list. Of course, we have, you know, some that go off and more that come on each year. It's a fluid situation. But the progress is very slow, and a lot of this underscores some of the challenges that we see at all levels of government with funding for transportation investment.
Now, 2,000 have been pulled off of the list out of how many nationwide?
Well, there are over 610,000 bridges nationwide. So it's about, lot of bridges. So that's not only a bridge over water, but anything over, you know, an overpass on a highway. It really does include everything in the country.
Hmm. And when you say deficient, how deficient does it have to be?
Well, one of those key elements is in poor or worse condition, and they have a scale of 0 to 9, and they're rated at 4 or below, with 9 being something in excellent condition. So they are bridges that do have conditions that need to be addressed.
At what point does the bridge fall apart and kill people?
Well, you know, you don't want to let it get to that point. And state DOTs are, you know, they will do what's called posting a bridge for load, where they do have weight restrictions. You know, we all see those when we go across some bridges where certain trucks of a certain size aren't allowed to cross. So they do take measures before a bridge gets to the point where it's, you know, highly unsafe for people to travel across.
As you looked around the country, you ranked the states in a ranking according to bridge condition. Let me ask you what the best state in the country was as far as its bridge condition is concerned.
Well, certainly, you know, actually Virginia is doing quite well. You all are quite at the top, but you have about 8% of your bridges are structurally deficient. In terms of the best, Nevada, just under 2% of their bridges are classified as structurally deficient. And the next kind of top few would be Florida and Texas and Arizona and Utah. And, you know, some of the states, of course, don't have to deal with some of the weather issues.
Well, that's what I was wondering.
Yeah, other states have. And we also have some of the states out west where their infrastructure is a little bit newer in terms of, you know, in the East Coast there are a number of deficient bridges that are over 75 years old. So age is definitely an issue when you look at those states that are ranked top in terms of structurally deficient.
That's very interesting. Yeah, and I understand Pennsylvania is at the bottom of the list.
They are. And Pennsylvania has quite a few. They have a huge inventory of bridges, which is a factor, and they have a number of local bridges that need some attention. So that is a state, and of course, similar to what Virginia has done, they have passed initiatives in the past few years to increase state revenues, which is a positive development to try and address that issue.
How do they increase? I was going to ask you this. Where does the money come from? And if a state wants to improve their ranking, they obviously need to pour a lot of money into bridge repair. How do they do that?
There are three main sources of funding for transportation investment for highway and bridge spending. Of course, actually what a lot of folks don't realize is half of all highway and bridge construction funding comes through the federal aid program. Right now, there's a big issue here in Washington, D.C. with Congress. We have a real lack of political will to increase revenues and address the situations regarding our Highway Trust Fund, which funds that federal aid portion, which is responsible for half of all investment across the country. So solving that issue, increasing federal investment, is one way that would actually help every state on this list. The other way is for state and local governments, which are responsible for pretty much about half of the other half of highway and bridge spending, to increase their own revenues. So we've seen that in about a dozen states over the last 2 to 3 years. Most of that is going to be through a gas tax or some sort of sales tax on gasoline. That's typically what we've seen.
And if you move away from use of gasoline, like electric cars, doesn't that make it even more difficult?
It is a challenge over the long run. Nationwide, consumption of gasoline is projected to decrease by about 1% a year, over the next 10 to 20 years as we do get more fuel-efficient cars. So, the gas tax is still a good measure over the next 10 years or so. Longer term, as we do get more of those efficient cars in our overall fleet, that is something we're going to have to address. States also use public-private partnerships. That's one approach that Pennsylvania has taken, or they look at registration fees or vehicle fees and licenses. That's another way to raise revenues that we see a number of states using.
You probably would be in a position to answer this question. I've always wondered why diesel fuel that used to be less expensive than gasoline is now considerably more expensive than gasoline. Is that because of increased tax on the gas?
Well, the tax on diesel and gasoline has actually been flat at the federal level. It hasn't been raised since 1993, so it's a flat cents per gallon rate. So what's driving the different prices, the retail price of gasoline, is actually things like local competition. Crude oil prices, of course, is a huge part of what's driving those prices that we see at the pump. What a lot of folks don't realize is that, again, those revenues have been flat for the last 20 years, which is part of the reason why at the federal level, we just don't have the investment, the funding that we need to really address some of these issues.
And I imagine that a lot of the wear and tear on bridges, at least some bridges, is caused by heavier trucks, largely diesel trucks. A lot of that traffic on long distance travel is being carried by railroads now, so you would think that would also further decrease the amount of money available for highway maintenance.
Well, about 75% of all freight is still carried by trucks. And the forecast from the Federal Highway Administration is that, freight traffic, the value of freight, is going to more than double in this country over the next 20 years. So to accommodate that and the economic growth, all the positive things that go along with that, if you don't have the transportation system in place to handle some of that increased truck traffic and, especially in the last mile connections with some of those railroads and ports that you're mentioning, then that's going to be an issue. That's really going to be a chokehold on economic growth.
Where can people find out more about this? It's a fascinating topic and one that affects all of us.
We have some state profiles and information on some of the most traveled deficient bridges on our website at www.artba.org.
A-R-T-B-A?
Correct, .org.
Great. Well, Dr. Black, thank you so much for being with us. I really appreciate
you. Take care.
Thank you. Dr. Allison.